Lumpa, Lumpa, Dippity Doo.
That immediately puts me in mind of... I'm currently playing a lot of Mario Kart.
Yeah.
At home. Got in from a gig last night, actually. Had a couple of Grand Prix.
It's the Lightning Weightlifters podcast, episode 55. Rob Rouse and Tom Rigglesworth here. Yep, carry on, Tom.
And that, when you leave the metronome on the recorder there, it really sounds like the start of a...
It does,
Mario
it's like
Kart
the rhythm
race.
Section of Mario Kart, isn't it?
And so as that metronome's going, I'm always tempted to, press accelerate just when the two appears.
Yes.
No, when the two's fading away, that's when you press it.
Apparently between two and three you're meant to go, aren't you?
Yeah.
I have never not got completely battered by the kids on Mario Kart. So I can't make progress on it, which is, I mean, one of the things that we do here on the Unlikely Weightlifters, we're looking for steady progress.
Progress, yeah.
Sometimes we pull our abdul, two steps forward, two steps back.
Do you drift?
I don't know. I end up, because there's so many buttons on a modern controller, isn't there?
It's like an accordion, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like I'm pressing everything all at the same time. And I don't really know if I'm drifting or hopping. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, well, they're the same thing. You know, you hop to drift and we drift to hop.
Yes.
No, you hop to drift. It's just sort of pressing the brake and turning.
Right, gotcha. And apparently that gives you more speed out of the corners, doesn't it? This is now essentially a workshop as we sound check for Mario Kart. Yeah.
When you drift into a corner, and some of the animation's beautiful. I mean, I'm just using it on a Wii U, which is a very much old hat. Most Mario Kart, of course, is played on the Nintendo Switch.
That's correct, yes.
From a generation behind. But it's beautiful. They're great. Like when the characters... I use Yoshi quite a lot.
Yep.
When he's doing the drifting, it's just brilliant. The animation of the character turning the handlebars the wrong way.
Yeah,
that sort of big heave into the bend. It's beautiful. When you do that, you charge up a mini turbo.
Right, I see.
What's a mini turbo? Good question, Rob. A mini turbo is the speed boost that you're looking for. And on the Switch, I believe there's actually three levels to it. So if you manage to do a drift...
So you're recouping energy from the friction, very much like a Toyota Prius.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't lean
system.
On the sort of hybrid electric car technology. It's just a game. But it rewards skill, that's the idea.
Yeah.
So as you drift into a corner, if you hold that drift for about a second or something, it depends on the car.
Yeah.
And the sort of severity of the turn. But if you hold that drift for about a second, your little sparks that come out of the back of the car will go yellow, I think.
I see, yeah.
And that's like level one. If you let go, then you get a short burst. And then they go purple, I think. Mm-hmm. If you hold the drift for longer, you get an extra level of it. And on the Switch, you've got an extra one if you hold it for ages. And some of the bends, you can hold it for ages.
Yeah.
And it feels fantastic when you nail it. It really, really, really does. You're like, oh my, you started the drift ages ago. Just... coursing round this bend, overtaking folk. Then you let the drift go when you come out the bend and you're on a fully charged turbo.
And you slingshot through.
Yeah, it's just terrific.
Well, I hope that's clarified.
Next thing you know, it's 2:30 a.m. Gene and Helen.
Oh, Gene and Helen
there.
Make a return. Gene's come back.
Helen's just... brought a lamp.
She may well have done. Jean's been to the dental hygienist for a clean-up, which is a very painful operation, isn't it, when they clean up right round the gums.
Bastard kills.
Yeah, I remember I actually called the dentist a you fucker, I think, when he did mine. Yeah, and I apologised immediately. He said, it's not the worst I've heard. Because it literally was like he was poking me on the nerves.
Yeah,
with
terrific.
With
I
needle.
Had the anaesthetic last time.
Did you?
Yeah.
There's came no out, shame in that.
Came out, poured a load of coffee down my lap. Awful. But I think Helen's brought a table lampshade.
Incredible. Well, we'll have to investigate. So all coming up on episode 55 and the locker room. Welcome to the podcast. It's my first one now as a 50-year-old as well.
Is it?
Yeah, as I step into it, half a century old, Tom.
Crikey. That's the bat up, isn't it? You put the
it's a bat up to the pavilion in cricket parlance.
What do you get at 100 then for that?
You stop again. You'd usually take your helmet off if you're wearing a helmet.
And bat. Helmet and bat.
Helmet and bat. Probably take your gloves off.
Oh, really?
Embrace from the non-strikers end.
Yeah.
I should think as well. Possibly
a round of applause from a slip.
Yeah, from the slip. Yeah, maybe even a handshake with the opposing captain.
Right.
Wouldn't be surprised, yeah. But never got there myself,
no,
so I'll never know.
But 50 is bat up. just
50s
hat on,
a battle.
On, hat on.
It's an acknowledgement. You try not to make too much of it, yeah. I think, in professional cricket. Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, your average test standard batsman should be averaging high 40s.
Don Bradman would have fapped that out in a couple of overs.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not so, him or them. Yeah. Why am I buying one?
You start punching the air when you get to...
What's a bad average, 50?
Yeah, exactly. Start punching the air like some kind of...
Tie myself out.
Exactly. Yeah, so you don't want to over-celebrate, but hard not to acknowledge the numerical significance deep within oneself whilst trying not to internalise it too hard. Which, I think there's been quite a lot of that processing going on, Tom, which is probably explained by this sentence that I don't know how to end.
Right, under the bar.
Right, let's do set two. That'll stop the chatter. Joining us in the locker room, of course, my dear wife Helen Rutt, who just returned from taking Granny Bean to the dental hygienist, which I know that she wasn't looking forward to. A very painful event, as we just talked about.
Well, they numbed her. She's completely numb.
I numbed numb myself last time. Recommended, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it just kills if you don't do that.
I don't think I've ever had it done. I can't have, because everyone says how painful it is, and I have no memory, and I would remember.
It's where they scrape, where they clean it.
It's like them scraping a penknife around all of your dental nerves.
I just don't think I've ever had it done. In my gums, because I've never had that done.
But the big news is you've just hit the charity shops.
Just hit a charity shop hard. One, it was good that it was, as I say, it was time limited, so it was good. I went into one thinking, I'm just browsing while Bradley Bean's getting a hygienist visit done.
Yeah.
And what
have you come out with?
I couldn't hold any more things.
Do you want to show us the haul? Do you want to bring it in and show us?
Well, I bought a lampshade remember that horrible brown lampshade that we had?
Yeah.
But then I thought, oh, this will be better and it'll match the kitchen. And I came in and went, oh, no, the brown one's not even here anymore. Oh. I've already done this.
You've already got through that.
Before.
Yeah.
So I've got a lampshade.
Oh, we can take it back to the charity shop.
That we don't need. And basically, I inadvertently have dressed myself as a bumblebee. I'll show you.
Oh, my God. Ludicrous.
Bumblebee? Is it a proper...
I don't know.
Or just a, you know, white and black striped?
Yeah, because we're way off New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which charity shop are we talking?
Age UK.
Age UK. A book?
That I was going to buy... This is weird. I was going to buy this online. Oh, and I was going to buy you a book, and then I just... backed away because we know you're not a reader.
That's a punch to the bollocks, isn't it?
But you've become a reader, but I didn't know how committed you were. And it's a big old book.
What was it?
It was a Michael Faber. It was the Book of Strange New Things. And I thought...
You got pictures, is it?
No pictures.
Oh. Hey, you back off, Tom Ricklesworth. No, has it got pictures in it?
And the font was very small, so I thought, no, I backed away from it.
Okay,
£2.99, I thought that's...
Yeah. Is it a good... Have you read that one?
It's really good, yeah.
Is it really good?
Yeah. Anyway, I can always get it for you. It's
we can always pop back, can't we? Yeah,
another book. And then look at this. Oh, yeah. So look at this.
Wow.
That's a yellow skirt, isn't
that
it?
That is a very yellow skirt. Yeah, it's like an ombre-ed yellow skirt Helen's brought out with pleats.
It's so yellow.
That's the summeriest thing I've seen.
Yeah, really summery.
I thought if I buy that, summer's coming.
And a bowl of strawberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a cricket match.
But then if you match that with this, I'm a bumblebee. I'm a bumblebee. A
couple of park cleaners and a woolly bobble and you're fucking
absolutely.
Antenna,
exactly.
You're like we're reenacting B-movie.
Yeah.
Exactly, but that's fabulous. And then
incredible.
For one of the things that I held myself off, I was going to buy loads of art.
Were you?
Yeah, I got a bit distracted by the art. And I was going to buy lots of art because I want to...
I don't know if you've been in Age UK, Brim, it's like the Guggenheim, Tom. It's incredible.
I don't know.
I was going to buy lots of art and then... edit them.
Go on. As in you were going to chop them up?
No, as in I was going to like...
improve them?
Well, maybe.
Augment them?
Yeah, augment them. Change them. I don't know why.
That's like when you did your Mona Lisa and gave her an extra
finger. I was
getting
a bit overexcited.
It's probably not finished.
Just like, just doing, I don't know.
Is that a flock of birds?
Yeah.
Is
there
a flock of birds?
And I thought we could have a whole wall of... changed art.
Edited art, yeah.
Edited art. But I backed away and then my mum.
If only when the Mona Lisa smiled, she showed her teeth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we can sort that out.
She would have suited a welding mask.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Absolutely yeah. Brilliant.
So I might do that. I think that might be my next project, but I couldn't do
getting stuff and then drawing on art.
I think Brian Sewell would have a fucking fit.
Your listeners might be having a fit. I mean, it is, maybe it's bad, but there were so many, there was like books of art. There were these books, and I was like, oh my God.
Oh, not framed prints.
There were them as well.
Mm.
You can have a go at them as well. Like, yeah. Stop.
I was just going to have a go at it.
So you're going to get big prints of the classics and then just work them up a bit more?
Yeah.
Yeah, just finish them off.
Yeah, exactly.
Finish them off for the greats.
Yeah, yeah.
And then have a big wall in the hall, just have it covered.
Like, we start going to the museums and putting willies back on the statues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slashing it with a Stanley knife, chucking a tin of Campbell soup at it. Same.
Absolutely. Same sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, anyway, that was a good hour spent.
Incredible. Now off to yoga.
Yeah, it's a good day.
What time's yoga?
Charity shop. Yoga.
Mm. Well, we're having a very similar spiritual meeting here under the bar because Tom's been out for 2 weeks.
I know.
The diarrhoea permitting clause has kicked in and now he's back. And yeah, it's been a humbling experience thus far, isn't it?
Yeah. The bar doesn't lie.
Yeah.
Which is, you're asking nicely too, just be kind.
No, yeah.
Uncompromising.
Does that mean it's my turn to
it
go?
It is your turn. Yeah, oh, Christ. Your turn to shine. Yeah.
Have you done your second set?
Yeah.
Christ almighty.
It is really stark, isn't it, when you change.
I'll let you hold that.
When your age shows itself and your and any kind of break. I had a break from playing football with Cleo. I've been playing football with Cleo for about a year now. When we started all of the fitness stuff, I could beat her. I had a month off. Oh my God, I felt old. She just thrashed me in every single thing that we did.
And what were you doing, like running to that cone and back?
Yeah, sprints.
Yeah.
She was better at everything. She was better at shooting. She was better at sprinting. She was better at literally everything that
and
I used
would
to
just
be.
Gasped putting your shoes on.
Because she's just been getting better and better and better, and I'm slowly getting worse.
Towards the grave. Yeah.
No, it's really
terrific when you think about it.
It was.
It's best not to.
No.
Distracted yourself with trips to the charity shop and yoga.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh shit! You know that fifth set. Well, that was hard. I stayed down too long.
Right, was it?
Oh, did you need
help?
Could have been a flip.
Yeah, I didn't get up.
You need to say your safe word.
What's that?
I don't know. You need a word when you're down and you need help.
It needs to be
I didn't want to interrupt the call. I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the podcast. Oh, Christ, that made me feel a bit lightheaded, that one.
Really?
Have you ever had that?
Yeah,
that means it's too heavy, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to back off for the last set.
Yeah, you should have had help.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
I think I ran out of puff to ask because I realised I was leaning forward a bit.
90 kilo. What am I going to do if he's stuck on the 90, other than lift one end of it up? Roll away! There's nothing. People spot. You need two people.
That felt like too
one
much.
One person. You see these people where they sort of come from behind. You're not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
But if the person's got any puff and strength left, you can help to make it easy enough for them to get up.
I think so, but I think that needs to be a practiced, synchronised move.
Yeah.
When you're doing it in the stress of it happening, you're better off where the guy who's in bother just tries to chuck it off the bike.
Right.
Yes.
And let it smash on the floor. Don't two of you get fucking crippled. Just to save a bit of 24.
Because you always help. Bench is different,
isn't it?
Long story short, that was a narrow escape.
I know, that's quite an alarming image, isn't it?
Oh, Christ.
The sound of it on the. But you'd have the recorded sound of it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
For all eternity. You could just hear the femur give way there.
Oh, God, don't.
What a relief. That's the squatting over with, Tom.
Hit you hard, that, didn't it?
It really hit me very hard.
Full transparency, I used a lighter weight because I've been out of the game for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I've very much hit a weightlifting snake as opposed to a powerlifting ladder. So I've dropped my weight down, so I feel fine. The reason I've dropped my weight down, actually, is because I've been looking after poorly children for the last fortnight, which is thankfully behind me. In that time, Rob, rejigged our kitchen.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. We had, when we built it originally, we had a kitchen island that featured a breakfast bar, 30-centimetre overhang. But whenever you sat there, you were in the way.
Yeah.
And you felt in the way. You were in the way of the fridge. So if guests came and sat there, they'd just feel in the way. It was a bit awkward and therefore never really got used very much. It was a bit of a shame. So we had a rejig and I've built a separate, what they call in kitchen, I don't know if you know kitchen design terminology, Rob, they call it a peninsula.
Ooh.
So it's a piece of worktop that thrusts out into the room, you know, yeah. like a Beyonce stage.
Right, that you can then fit stills underneath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With like a pillar at the end or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, two legs at the end, yeah. You can have half-size units underneath.
So an island is solid.
Yeah, standalone, of course. Yeah. Of which no man is.
Yeah.
A peninsula is connected to the main thrust of the worktops.
Incredible.
Yeah. And it works so well. And as a result, we got our original kitchen from IKEA, and I put pretty much everything from IKEA.
Of course, there are other kitchen suppliers.
Are available, and I love IKEA. You'll never hear me. I really, really love it. I know it's kind of almost like trendy to have a go at it, but I think it's brilliant. And I feel it's a real triumph of like, I think I could be really naive here, but I think they come from a sort of socialist. It feels like a company that takes care of stuff. I'm sure there might be a train wreck somewhere along the line where they're absolutely corporate bastards, but it doesn't feel like that to me. Like, I don't think I'd ever nick anything from IKEA. Would you ever steal anything from IKEA?
No, I couldn't be bothered. I'm too relaxed when I'm in there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a calm space. Yeah. And everything seems reasonable.
Yes.
Like nothing's over, you're like, oh, that's reasonable. How bloody reasonable.
Yeah.
And so I don't think, whereas...
There's some finusk.
Yeah, yeah. So whereas other shops, you know, can price gouge so viciously that you feel more inspired to rob. But IKEA, I've never stolen anything from IKEA. I'm not admitting to stealing anything. I'm just saying that the real socialist vibe.
Right.
But
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
What I will say though is it when you're in building mode.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare of a shop.
Right.
To nip in to buy a worktop,
of course,
aluminium joint strip.
Yeah.
It's a 40-minute walk. I didn't do a step count, but it's long enough to get sponsors. A walk around IKEA, you could be raising money for a hospice.
But it's so far around.
And when you just know what you want and it's an in-and-out job, it's heartbreaking, as opposed to, let's say, Screwfix or Toolstation, both of which near me know me.
Yeah.
So when my car pulls up, my goods are on the counter.
Incredible.
I've already ordered them online. It's just like my own personal shed. It's phenomenal. IKEA is the other end of that ball ache spectrum. As much as I love the place,
you've just got to up your profile in there.
Yeah, right.
You've just got to get them to know you a little bit more.
There's probably 300 members of staff. I'd have to have some sort of party to.
Yeah,
to,
maybe it's kind of meet and greet.
Yeah,
you know, mixer, that kind of thing. Distribute your CV, some headshots, current headshots. maybe give them a bit more about you, the man, rather than just you and what
kitchen,
you're there for. Tell them about the lowlights,
that kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah. Get tell them about your nail care regime, that kind of stuff. Just try and get them to know the Tom behind the Tom, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you think they have the aluminium joining strip ready.
I think they could do, yeah. I think that would tie into the...
it's such a faff. You've got to get to the kitchen bit in the middle of IKEA. 15-minute walk minimum.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like queuing up for a ride at Alton Towers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you've got to order that from the system. Then you've got to go to a separate bit to collect it.
Mm.
Wow. But still
yeah, that,
love
that meet and greet mixer seems like a good idea.
It
now.
Does
it
actually.
Just makes
yeah,
sense. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. If you could, yeah, yeah. A garden party. Maybe do it in June. I have to get a marquee.
Or just try and hold it in the canteen area.
Yeah,
you know,
it's me. If ever you see me come in, I've ordered something. Please have it ready.
Yeah, one hot dog each. They're on me.
After that,
it's a sound investment, Tom.
But I was
mad on the onions.
As a result of doing up the kitchen a little bit, we had a sort of a, what would you call it, a consolidation regarding drawers, and utensils, right? And of course, I let Lulu take the lead on this. Before I knew where I was in the market for a new bread bin front loader.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a big. That's a big step.
Yeah, and I like a front-loading bread bin. I mean, alternatives.
Roll
of
top.
Course, roll top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roll top front loader. And I think like they seem to be the only bread bin of choice when I was young at grandparents' houses. Everyone would have a roll top front.
Roll top front loader. Yeah. Probably wooden roll top as well.
I think so. And yeah. It just feels like if you did live in a sort of socialist, almost communist society, everyone has the same sort of thing.
Mm.
That would be the bread bin.
Mm.
Roll top front loader. Can't argue with it. You don't want a top loader because it's impinged by the cabinet above.
Yeah, and also, I don't know, also it has that slight connection now to the band who recently played at the Conservative Party conference.
Oh, did
Nigel
they?
Farage and Priti Patel dancing to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, yeah, the more I learn about top loader, the less I like. of course, bread tends to want to be stored on its side. If you store it upright, you're dealing with compression.
Don't get me started on bread compression.
So front loader, roll top.
Yeah.
That's what I was after. We're in a bit of a rush around IKEA because I had a wife and children with me. And they did have them for sale. We knew that in advance. We got one. Got it home, excited, wooden, as you say.
Lovely.
Everything was really excited about it. Put it into position, beautiful, right between the toaster and the air fryer. And lo and behold, it's just a flip lid.
Oh.
The struts of the roll front are actually just rigid, glued together.
So it looked like a roll top front loader.
Yeah,
but it was You'd be done.
Absolutely furious. Thought, you
fucking
Swedish.
Hell.
But I mean, that's blue, you know.
Yeah.
Well, IKEA blue.
Hang on, I'll cancel the mixer now because I made an online reservation, but the meet and greet's off the table now, Tom.
I thought they cared so much.
I don't think I'm going to get the deposit back, though.
Always thought they had the right mold.
Yeah. They're basically
hooky bread bin.
Faced up. It's like a fake roll-top bread bin.
Yeah, like a flipping... Like a,
so is the fold-out door essentially curved like a roll?
Yes, it's curved, and it's got vertical, horizontal strips.
Oh.
Like it's ready to just like a shutter on a bank.
Absolutely.
Or a shop.
But the whole thing is a solid piece.
Yeah, a jeweler's shop where it just roller shutter. Yeah, the whole thing's a solid piece. Couldn't believe it.
Hopes and prayers, Tom, with you.
Yeah.
How are you going to bounce back from this?
Well, I mean, in its defence, the bread bin has worked very well.
It feels like you're trying to talk yourself around.
Yeah, no, I am.
You've been cheated, Tom.
Yeah. I just think IKEA should have been upfront about that.
Yeah, that you can't make a roll something that looks like a roll top that isn't a roll top.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to their worktops, which I'm very intimate with, because when we did our kitchen, we had solid oak worktops.
Yeah, yeah.
When I installed the Peninsula, went back to buy more worktops. They stopped doing it for sustainability reasons.
Right.
And I'm all for that.
And you
they
respected
that. They now use
that.
A chipboard core and an oak veneer. And they were upfront about that, and I like it. When I go back to buy a bread bin that's not a fucking roll-top front loader, it's a rigid plastic front loader, and then I expect to be given the same courtesy of knowledge.
I think, yeah, absolutely, Tom. Jesus Christ. I'm glad. Well, listen, I'm sure they're listening. And I know that the guys high up at TK Maxx, they're always listening to the podcast as well. Surely they'll be in a sauna within the next couple of weeks with the top mods from IKEA, won't they?
Yeah, I'd have thought so.
Take them to task.
If I was anywhere within spitting distance of the board of directors at TK Maxx, I would say there is a gap in the market for the classic roll style front loading bread bin.
Absolutely, yeah.
I, for one, would bite your arm
off. Do you reckon Jeff could drop one off?
Well, I mean, I was buying some lights for the living room the other day. I'll tell you about that later.
All coming up on the Unlikely Way of this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do a bench first.
Let's do a bench first. It'll work out some of the anger. But genuinely, Tom, and I'm sure I speak for all of our listeners here, really, really, really sorry to hear you've gone through that, to be tricked so callously by an institution that you so trusted.
Known for its transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. Known for its transparency. That over the years, you built up that trust, built up that relationship. You were considering, you're on the precipice of pulling the trigger and, we already paid the deposit there for the mixer meet and greet. So I feel in many ways, I don't know, we're going to need to hear back from IKEA on this one, aren't we?
I would like it, yeah.
Well,
I mean, we've got to give them the right to reply, at least.
Yeah, we'll give them 5 episodes to get back to us.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's see what happens, all right? Yeah. But look, let it be known, we're on this. We've got your back, Tom.
And it's not like they do us a role, you know, an equivalent one.
Yeah.
This is the only one.
Yeah.
Oh, we can put a link in the description, by all means.
Yeah, it's hard for me to describe, to try and paint a picture with words, dear listeners, but I'm looking at a man who is genuinely heartbroken because Because he's had a spring in his step since the low lights, and I'd see him bounding up the drive like an inquisitive heron, examining things and just taking in things that needed fixing.
Sails, all this.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it? It's really knocked you, hasn't it? Yeah, it's taken you down a few rungs, and I don't like seeing that, Tom. Look, we're going to build you back up.
Yeah.
We'll get you back into full strength, both emotionally and physically, and then we'll take on this corporate giant with the full might of the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast. Good listeners, job. Let's mobilise.
Thwacking a C sharp over the top.
Was it really?
Yeah,
I thought that was like a hip hop song.
No.
That was one of Tom Riggle's.
You know, Snoop Dogg, any of the big guys.
Yeah.
Want to sample it,
well, we've been pinging these off to Beck and not had anything back from him yet. But,
no, they're busy people.
Yeah, he's a busy guy, isn't he? Yeah.
Busy people.
Yeah. He's probably having a mixer at IKEA as we speak, isn't he?
Yeah, he will do, yeah. Probably got his eye on a new bathroom.
Classic Beck. Probably going for a full rewire at the same time.
Amazingly, IKEA.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they don't sell. They don't sell toilets.
No.
But they do sell sinks and taps.
Yeah.
I'm not about sure. They draw the line at certain things.
I remember going round like one of the showroom things years ago in an IKEA.
Yeah.
And there was some bathroom setups. That's and there was a there was like a piece of card in the toilet. They did have a toilet there. Yes. And it said these toilets are for display purposes only. Yes. Because I think...
Do you think they've learned
the
hard way?
A couple of horror shows must have occurred. So they've got so many branches. Law of averages.
Yes.
Someone has either gone in completely drunk or someone who's in a desperate state in their life or has lost hold of reality.
Yeah.
Has gone...
Defecated.
I think I'm in a bathroom.
In the display area. Yeah. No, horrific scenes.
And that only has to happen once for you to instigate.
A national policy.
Yeah, well, an international.
Sweep across the globe.
Policy. I mean, that printed press.
It could have happened in Belgium, but we would never hear of it.
Yeah.
But either way.
Either way.
The ripples would have gone around.
There's a central Sweden printing plant. Literally, they're on the trucks within 24 hours of being distributed.
Without in Denmark. I can't remember, I think it was a few years ago, there was a snowstorm one winter, trapped 60 IKEA shoppers overnight in IKEA.
Wow.
Described as one of the best sleepovers
you
could wish for. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Like, I'll sleep there.
Yeah, exactly. But, what kind of vibe am I after?
But I presume, if provided everybody kept their mind,
yeah,
I know it's a stressful situation when you're stranded like that, IKEA have got more than adequate bathroom facilities.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, for the public.
For the public, yeah, plumbed in.
Plumbed in, fully plumbed in.
In the display models.
Absolutely. Yeah. Worst case scenario, if the toilets have gone down as well, or that bit of the building is locked down, you can't access it, there's got to be an aisle where they sell buckets with lids on.
There are. We bought a bucket the other day.
There you go. Probably with a clip lid. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Improvise. Yeah, and, you know, you can always pay the difference, when you come out in the morning.
Yeah.
So you bought you did buy a bucket from IKEA.
We did. We did this shop, which part of the bread bin fiasco.
Yeah.
My wife was after a bucket for hand washing.
Right, yeah.
And she was keen to say that it doesn't need a handle.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that. And IKEA sold these packs of... we ended up almost getting... Everything I've said about shoplifting, it's actually probably come from this situation. Because we ended up, it felt like, almost being accused of shoplifting. And I think the member of staff...
Hang on, is this before or after they shafted you?
What, with the bread bin?
Yeah.
Well, it was the same shop. It was the same. It was whilst I was there...
Okay.
For the bread, I'd bought the bread. We were going through the checkout basically, and the buckets were in two sections. You know, in IKEA stuff has a one and a two on it, and it's like a two part system.
Mm.
But usually that's because it's like legs and then tabletop.
Yeah.
It's like a massive purchase.
Yeah.
But buckets were the same, they had a one and a two on it. And I put the My wife had put this bucket in the trolley. I didn't know anything about it. It later transpired that it was a bucket with its lid.
Right, yeah.
Which, of course, would have been excellent for, like, slopping out.
Yeah, or a nappy bucket back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Or floor cloths.
Yeah.
So I'm ringing everything through
or
the
self-check. Bedside vomit.
Yeah, yeah. It listed endless. Always good to get one. IKEA sell them.
Did you used to have, when you were a kid growing up, did you used to have, if you ever had, like, a vomiting bug... Was there always a specific vessel?
Yeah,
that
there was
out?
A bowl, I think.
A specific bowl that actually made you feel more sick because of the association with it.
Yeah.
So if you felt a bit sick, it felt like the bowl was then making you sick.
It would trigger you even more, yeah.
And then that bowl, obviously, you know, this was back in the 70s and 80s. People weren't made of money. It wasn't disposable culture.
Yeah.
That bowl, you'd suddenly go, there's people over, there's a giant salad in it.
Yeah, exactly. Next thing you know, it's full of broad cocktail skips.
Such a strange thing, wasn't it? Those weird memories of childhood.
Throw it up into a rabbit jelly mould. Yeah. But this bucket had two parts, the lid and the bucket. And I was in charge of scanning the items through in the self-service checkout. And because you got two parts, I thought it was a tray. I thought Lulu had just bought a tray.
Yeah.
And that was the lid. So I scanned that through, and then the till's going mad because I'm scanning other items, and it's saying, no, you've got to stop and scan the other part of this item. The bucket. Where's the bucket? You've got a lid. Where's the bucket?
Yeah.
And I've not got a bucket. I don't know what a bucket lid is. I've got a tray.
Yeah.
So a member of staff comes over. I'm so bumbly. I've got two children running around with the cuddly toys I've just bought them, which looks like I'm trying to nick them, but all I'm trying to do is get into the car calmly.
Yeah.
And so a full
audit.
We can't
stress enough, you've never stolen
them. I've never stolen
them,
and I want to, you know.
Not even despite being absolutely shafted by this fucking bread bin.
But that was pre-bread bin. You know, I didn't know about the... At the time, I was buying the bread bin, and it was shrink-wrapped. You couldn't open it to tell.
So, the subterfuge.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So it just... What culminated in, basically, a full till-side audit was then further compounded by my wife arriving with stuff she'd just bought in the shop, the food bit, you know, meatballs and biscuits and stuff. And then my wife said, oh, I've got to scan everything again. I've confused everybody with this bucket. Turns out it's got a lid. And then so she steps forward, what, scan everything again? And I went, yeah, apparently. So she then accidentally scans meatballs that she's paid for. I was like, not them, because they're from a different...
And they took a second scan.
Yeah, well, it sent the till into absolute tailspin. It all but, like, lit up, like, what are these maniacs doing? And so members of staff coming over, it was just a nightmare. We had two tired kids that we were cutting bedtime down to the quick as it stands.
Yeah.
We've now got to go through, and it was a long shop of lots of little fiddly things like washing up brushes, you know what I mean? It wasn't four bar stools where it was big boxes, it was hundreds of little tats. I was like, oh my God, this is hell. But long story short, I bought a bucket.
Hey, if you're enjoying the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast, why not spread the word to your friends and social networking groups? Everyone likes a good podcast, and I think ours is a bit different. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's mellow, it's funny, it's kind of ambient. Is that a word? People talking about bread bins, sick buckets, that kind of thing. You know, in a relaxed, chilled vibe during rest periods. Spread the word, tell 10 people. Give us a like, give us a share on social media, give us 5 stars on the algorithm wherever you get your podcast. Whiz the stars up like we're a brilliant Uber driver and we just drop you off perfectly without a kind of an annoying conversation or prying too deeply into your personal life. Also, if you'd like to directly support the podcast and all the editing and all that goes into it, you can join us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/Rob Rouse. You can pay what you want monthly and cancel anytime. Or if you can't afford to do that, just tell someone about the podcast and keep listening for free. We love all of you. You're brilliant. I'm recording this in a car in case it sounds like I'm sat in a portable toilet. We've got, do you want to hear a submission? We've got a letter in.
Oh, yeah.
Rest period, one on the press.
Oh,
From our dear friend, listener Paul Martin.
Isn't that Paul Merton's real name?
I think it might be, yeah.
He's named himself after the tube station in South London of the same name.
So listener Paul Martin, thanks for getting in touch, Paul. Always great to hear from you. He writes in, and it's in reference to last week's episode. So I'd love you to have a current postbag entry. Do keep your letters, your posts, your pancakes reports coming into robscomedyvillage@gmail.com is the email address we use. We really need to get an Unlikely Weightlifters Facebook page and email address, don't we? That would be a sensible decision in the current climate. So he says, hi, Rob and Tom. In a recent episode of The Unlikely Weightlifters, you've wondered about how much your phones, etc., listen to you and target adverts accordingly. Now, bless you, with this...
Enormously, I suspect.
Yeah, well, this is what we're about to find out here, Tom. Yeah, right. Well, with this in mind, let us fast forward to the latest episode, brackets 54, where you discuss the industrial turkey slaughter that must take place to satisfy the customers of Toby Carvery's up and down the country, which... Yeah. It's funny, when you talk about these things loosely, you don't really...
When you put it like that, yeah.
Yeah, it is an industrial slaughter, isn't it? And not just at Christmas, but just for every Toby Carvery.
Yeah, peaking every Sunday, wave after wave after wave.
And not just turkeys.
Chilling.
I listened to this through the car stereo on my way home. When I got in, I opened my phone and tapped the Google app. It was with no small surprise that nestling between the articles about retro video games, Ford Capris, Star Wars and other rubbish of no interest to anyone but myself, was an advert for a LiveTech NEX handheld mechanical mobile chicken slaughterer.
Wow. Not just an advert for Toby Carvery.
Not just.
Or anything that could have been, you know, have plausible deniability.
Sausages.
Yeah, right.
Any kind
of... Actual industrial equipment that only slaughtermen would be interested in.
A LiveTech NEX handheld mechanical mobile chicken slaughterer. This leads me to wonder if at some point in the near future... An advert for whatever is hidden behind the extra curtain and Summers will pop up on my phone. Lovely back reference to episode 54. And if so, which of these adverts will produce the highest eyebrow raise should my missus happen to look over my shoulder at the right, brackets or wrong, close brackets moment? It's a very, very good question.
Good Lord.
I mean, this is deep, deep listening isn't it?
So he was listening... Because... Surely the phone... Does the phone not know if it's making the noise?
It's mad at it. The phone somehow was listening to the podcast.
Listening to itself.
Whilst playing itself.
Yeah. Unless he was listening to it on another device.
Unless, maybe a further email clarification on that, Paul, would be helpful. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's playing and listening at the same time.
But you might... I don't know. Some cars have like a separate... They all hook up to your phone anyway, don't they?
So weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
He continues, I have to say, it's strange that this is the first thing that has ever been advertised to me as a result of listening to your podcast.
Targeted from the slaughterhouse manufacturers.
I would have bet good money that Underpants or Imodium would have been much more likely candidates.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. When you consider how much we talk about pants and having a below-the-waist accident.
I often get what I suspect are targeted ads, if you can call them such. And the picture's always the same. It's always a bunch of bananas, and the report. The sort of the inviting clickbaity style question is: are your bowels fully emptied? And it is always this. I don't know what they're offering, but have you seen it?
I've not seen it. Are your bowels?
Yeah,
fully empty.
Really empty. I might even be in italics. Like it's like we all know that you're emptying them reasonably, but right. I mean, if you really
are they fully empty,
clear out. And I'm always, always read the question and contemplate the question, and I always say to myself, "I mean, I think so." I've never, wouldn't eat my dinner off them, but
I've no complaints.
Yeah, but I think I don't know what it's not advertising bananas, but it's some. It's probably one of those services where they dunk a load of coffee up your ass.
Probably is, isn't it? Yeah. And then you do a Donald Duck waddle to the toilet
and then
let all hell loose.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt, do you want to see what the the LiveTech NEX handheld mechanical mobile chicken slaughter.
No, but also yes.
It's a lot.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's like a just a plastic, almost V-shaped thing that I think it's basically it's a handheld mechanical device to aid the neck dislocation.
Right.
So it's just for people going around doing it by hand.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought it'd be like a modified pair of hand shears.
Yeah, no, it's
absolutely medieval.
How would you describe that? It's like
it looks more like a 3D printed cricket box.
It does, doesn't it?
With a bit missing out the middle.
Yeah, we put your winky through where you can get hit by the cricket ball.
Mm. Or chicken's head by the...
Very, very.
Reality. They can't be very expensive, though. How much are they? $18.99, I reckon. Delivered.
Oh, I don't want to accept all the cookies from these guys because... Wow. It says $49.95. Just a handheld piece of plastic.
Does it lever together in any way? Is it malleable like that? Or is it just a shaped bit of plastic?
Oh. In certain unavoidable circumstances, it becomes necessary to euthanise birds on farm as an emergency measure to relieve pain and suffering. The LiveTech NEX has been approved by WATOK, the WATOK Red Tractor and Industry Bodies, as a humane quick cervical dislocation tool for poultry farmers.
No, it's a world...
I don't want to read any further down.
Oh, you can get a tenner off, though.
You can get
a
tenner off.
It's interesting, though. It's, no matter how bleak or niche the industry... Remember, I've told you before, I used to work in the sort of telecoms, like satellites and stuff like that. And there was a bit of crossover into radars and things like this. And it was extraordinarily niche, you know.
Yeah.
This sort of stuff wasn't for normal people. This was the stuff that governments would buy to put into space, or you know, huge telecommunication companies, or people doing the backbone of what, like 4G or 5G.
Lovely to know that you were somehow across that, Tom.
Well, yeah, I thought possibly stalled the the progress of it more than anything. But
was that a period of life when you were probably less productive than you are now?
Yeah. An all-time low.
Take an 8-hour sewer load of washing, kind of period.
And it was so interesting because in like nerdy trade journals, which I'd sometimes peruse, or trade shows, they'd still employ the same sales tactics as the latest Adidas trainers.
Mm.
It was like models, usually pretty women.
Loud music, flashing lights.
It was 20% off until Thursday.
Yeah,
and you thought this is part of a power amplifier for a flipping satellite. Are we still buying it like a fucking baseball cap?
Yeah,
it's mad. But it seems that even if you're buying something to kill a chicken, 10% off. I noticed there.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
It's weird that those same tactics are used absolutely everywhere.
10% off this overpriced piece of plastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking you could probably make one of those with a bit of standard.
Out of a cricket box and a grinder.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, that won't be humane, though, will it?
No, it wouldn't be. And you wouldn't get a WATOK kind of approved.
If the chicken's last memories were having a box snaffled over its face, then
Red Tractor are going to be giving that one a wide berth.
Can't be
in terms of approval,
humane,
aren't they?
Yeah. The Rob Rouse inhumane chicken killer made from a discarded cricket box.
You can still see the padded leather rim.
Clients advise that this product is not approved.
It says Gun and More on it. The Grey Nichols chicken dispatcher.
You'd get both of them to advertise that. Both of them would advertise that. Without a doubt.
Beefy.
Beefy on there. Well, stop breaking chickens' necks with your bare hands.
Somebody with a repurposed discarded chicken box, cricket box.
You can inhumanely...
dispatch four turkeys round the back of a Toby Carvery that's just run out of turkeys. Right, let's do set two. Come on!
DL done, episode 55, first one back in the dojo for quite a while, Tom.
2 weeks, that, yeah. Ooh. Mind you, I've been kept busy, you know, with...
Oh, you've been on your hands and knees.
But I installed the floor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Changed the kitchen area. One thing I had to do with the kitchen was consider lighting. We're big fans of lighting in our house.
Yeah.
And I would say, without boasting, that I'm very good at it. You know, I'm pretty on top of the electrical regs.
Yeah.
And a keen photographer that likes to use studio strobe lights. So, I mean, basically, lighting is better when it's cosy. Lots of little lamps.
Sidebar, photography, will you offer doing me some new headshots?
Yeah, we can do that.
No, I'd love to come out for a photo session.
Yeah, we'll do
that. In the new kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short depth of field.
We can Photoshop the air fryer out.
Beautiful. I'd like it quite prominent in the background, actually.
Yeah. It's a day woo.
Is it? Yeah. What did you go for?
Because shelf model.
I haven't got an air fryer yet. I know they're all the rage.
Oh, they're good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing in there?
Well, it's very good with children because you can rustle up fish fingers and chips or variations thereof in no time at all.
Yeah.
Excellent for that. So chips, it's good. If you're using the oven anyway, you'd never turn it on.
And right,
the wife's got back into baking bread.
Right, yeah.
So the oven's, you know, it doesn't always get used, but it is a bit of a, between that and the pressure cooker, I sometimes look at our very expensive Smeg gas 6 hob or 5 hob, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, 4 and then 1 whopper in the middle.
Yeah, for a wok.
Yeah, wok or perhaps if you were...
Huge casserole pot.
Yeah, inviting a load of striking miners to around, you could stand around it.
Yeah.
I barely use that, you see. I use all the modern versions of it. But anyway, by due to extending it, I had to consider lighting. Now, we've got these tubular... I use GU10 LEDs in the kitchen.
Mm.
Nothing unusual there.
They're on the way out. Oh LEDs. Sorry. Yeah, no, really... No, I've profuse apologies.
The form will stay.
Of course, not the halogen GU.
No. Jesus Christ.
The ones you pop in with a little suction cup?
No, it's a sort of... It's a double... It's kind of got a double, almost like a... What would you describe it?
They've got two prongs with a flat circle on the end.
With a flat circle on the end.
But yes, sometimes you need a cup to pop them in if it's a tight one. A little suction cup to pop the bulb in.
Oh, yeah.
Depends on the fitting.
I see what you mean. Yes. If you get your fingers right in, yeah. Mm. But there is another type, which is just two prongs.
Yes.
Which is more like accent lighting generally.
Right, gotcha.
Like cabinets and stuff. But your standard GU10's going nowhere, Rob. And we've got these black, they're black tubes.
Yeah.
They are approximately 50 to 60 millimetres in diameter.
Right, yeah.
They are 30 centimetres long.
Ooh.
And within that is the GU10 bulb. So it just sort of drips from the ceiling, this black tube.
That sounds like a lovely effect.
It's lovely. And we have like 8 of them.
Almost like a set of wind chimes.
Yes. And it's just painted black tubes of steel.
Amazing. Right,
with a fitting inside. They're a tenner each.
What do you know what note they give off? You give them a little tap with a fork?
It's hard to say because you've got... I don't know. I'll try that.
Are they different tone, different lengths, or all the same length?
They're all the same length.
Right.
So I've not installed an airborne xylophone.
Yeah. So like tuning guitar to open E or open G. Yeah.
Just whack one of them.
Yeah.
So I was in the market for a few more.
Mm.
And they'd gone up. There were a few, 12. I couldn't find the exact type I was buying. But I was looking around for stuff. Now, bear in mind, it's just the GU10 light fitting and a piece of black painted metal.
Yeah.
Like, the planet makes tons of this.
Mm.
Like, mankind has got no problem in producing.
Yeah.
We have got loads of it. Should cost... And that's why they're a tenner. Mm. There's nothing. You could buy from some wanky, you know, it would be like Hector Eastman... designer.
Yeah.
And they were like 135 quid.
Yeah, and it's probably say that it's anthracite or charcoal.
Yeah, designer.
Yeah.
And it was like, what have you, what?
Yeah.
Hector, tell me, in all honesty, man to man, eyeball to eyeball.
Hector, take your little round glasses off.
Yeah, what have you designed about this piece
Stop
of black
waxing your moustache
steel?
And tell us the truth.
Yeah, what have you designed? Where do you sit now and go, that's good design.
Yeah.
It's done, Hector.
Yeah.
We've passed it.
Yeah.
We're making it by the mile.
Yeah. These are mass-produced,
These
Hector.
Are coming out of steelworks by the ton. We're chopping off a foot. and painting it black. It's pennies. These things are holding up buildings. And you're saying, I've designed it.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
I was incandescent with rage. I'll, full clarity, this was just off the back of the discovery of the front-loading bread.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So you were hurting, brother, weren't you?
Oh, dear. Consequently, I've been arguing with the wife in the living room. We've always had soft low lights, you know. She's Scandinavian, so they've always enjoyed that sort of thing. But recently, we've basically sacrificed the big light.
Right.
And I said to Lulu, you do that at your peril.
Yeah.
I'm all for soft low lighting. I really am.
Absolutely, yeah.
Beautiful. Especially with Philips Hue, you get different colours. obviously, I don't know if you'd... I'm sure you're aware of this, Rob, but I've also got a glitter ball.
Yes, absolutely.
Three pin spotlight.
Is that for your burlesque nights?
Yeah.
How are they going?
Just to change the vibe.
Just to change
the vibe, wipe the glitter ball on.
Woof.
Got yourself a vibe change. I sat in it last night after the gig.
Yeah.
It's like having a bath.
A glitter ball bath. Absolutely, yeah. A glamour bath.
Really nice.
Yeah. Did you have a drink at the same time? Camomile tea?
I just had Builder's tea. Yes.
Builder's tea, yeah. Caffeinated tea, straight to bed.
Straight to bed, yeah. It doesn't touch the side. I find it doesn't. Coffee, I get the buzz, but tea doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
I'm partial to the occasional Earl Grey, but I do not. I insist on being informed.
Yeah, you've got to know. Advance. You've got to know if the Earl is in your cup.
It's one of the shocks of the century.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah. I'd say it's up there with. I took my darling daughter Cleo to go and see Manchester City ladies' team play a few months ago.
Is she in that team? the one who did the amazing penalty,
Chloe Kelly.
Now, she's incredible.
Chloe Kelly. They've got Chloe.
She plays for City, does she?
Yeah, and City have got six of the England team, like superstars. And they just signed Bunny Shaw, the Jamaican captain, who's banged in an incredible hat-trick in the first 40 minutes. Spectacular by any metric. And City beat Tottenham 7-1. Oof. And it was but despite the score, a really competitive game. Action-packed, absolutely action-packed. What were you talking about before I mentioned that, that made me think of this?
Sitting in a glitter ball light.
Glitter ball light. That was it. No. So the Earl.
Oh, yeah.
And can't recommend going to see women's Premier League WSL games enough. The atmosphere is superb. The games were great. They're fast. It was awesome. I had a roast dinner inside a Yorkshire pudding for £6. Cleo had a vegetarian one. A hot chocolate, and I had a coffee.
What, in a polystyrene takeout situation?
Cardboard.
Was it, right?
Cardboard, mate. Yeah, fully recyclable. Back off. Anyway, but with the drinks, my coffee, and obviously Cleo's 12, has never eaten drunk coffee, and her hot chocolate were both on the floor of the stands, and she bent down and took a big swig of these now quite cool drinks, picked the wrong one, and it was coffee.
Wow.
And the reaction on the face of a 12-year-old child who's never, ever had coffee before.
Traumatised.
Yeah, she literally, she did everything she could not to spit it out on the back of the lady in front of us.
I bet.
But she was horrified, and up there with an Earl Grey tea.
Yes, the Earl Grey. It just takes your feet from under you, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
The Earl is upon us, you have to know.
I've been punched in the bollocks by bergamot. A double fist punch to the centre of the chest from Messrs. Burger and Mott.
When you are expecting it, though, delicious.
I still won't have it. I still think, really? I think it's weird.
Yeah.
It tastes like someone's put furniture polish in my tea.
It is without that.
I don't
weird.
Get it.
Yeah, and it is like you've had it.
It feels like it's going to give me instant bad breath.
Do you?
Yeah. Maybe I need to brush my teeth more.
Well, lots to think about there. but needless to say, I'm still looking around for a solution for the big lights in the living room.
Mm,
I'm thinking about getting some kind of old with a big barn gate door. Probably not old, probably still used, but like film sets.
Oh, yeah.
Like proper...
A Fresnel with the doors on it.
The barn door lighting thing.
Yeah, lovely,
A couple of them woofing out from the roof.
They'd look nice.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they get me an LED with adjustable mood.
Yeah. I'd want it warm. I don't need it coloured.
No.
But warm to cool light would be good.
Yeah, you want warm white.
And absolutely dimmable. But it's got to be a lot of power light to... Because this is, I'll have the low lighting on, but this is a dropped contact lens situation.
Yeah, it's difficult if you've got no big light, isn't
it? Yeah, it's impossible. Suddenly, you know, you're faffing about.
I love it. Big lights are hard to achieve anyway with the modern world of LED bulbs.
They're certainly, Britain in particular, we chart low, I would say, in our approach to lighting over the years.
Mm.
I know that we've excelled in other areas of modern culture and art and stuff, but lighting, especially in standard UK living rooms, absolute train wreck. The big light itself, having just one single point of light high up in the middle of the room, basically means you are always going to be in the shadow of what you're doing.
It's like having a sun.
Yeah, you just thought,
although I do think the ceiling-mounted spotlights, they've had their time.
In real light, in like,
you just see that kind of open plan ceiling mounted spotlights.
Yeah, yeah. When you have three in the middle,
they've had their time.
I never liked them. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, you've got to go. You could do a lot worse. You've got to get a powerful light, bang it against a wall, let the wall be the light.
Let the wall do the work. Yeah,
they call it a wash.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. It'll be beautiful. So of course I link all mine up to the old Google voice activated. Always listening. Decide what film I'm going to watch next and what products I buy system.
And which chicken extermination article tool you're going to be buying.
I'm going to kill the next.
But do remember, 10% off those, Tom.
So we've got, as I've mentioned, we play a lot of Mario Kart. So you can turn on Mario Kart mode, which kills all the lights apart from the two lights by the settee, which light up in Mario colours.
Brilliant. Look, we began with Mario Kart. We've come back to Mario Kart. It's not just thrown together, this podcast.
No,
it really is.
Yeah, it's all night thinking about it.
Yeah, it's expertly crafted and then recorded for you, bespoke, in between rest sessions of us attempting to gain functional strength, which I think on some of it we've done, haven't we, Tom? We've done the work today. We've done it.
Yeah, I've just got to eat a lot and sleep a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy lift by any means for either of us, but we've done it. And we wish you well, dear listeners. Please do share the podcast with anyone you love or think would enjoy it. Please like, and I think people need to subscribe, don't they, Tom, to get us through the algorithm.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I don't know.
We don't know enough about it. There's talk about us joining the Sports Podcast Network, which is exciting. That's on the horizon.
That would be.
Although I think that might impact on us being able to do our completely gratis Screwfix adverts that we've done a few.
That could cause a lot of tension. Between, yeah.
But maybe listenership's gain will be macerator's loss.
Is it where you've got dual interest? What's that phrase?
Yeah, yeah. Conflict of interest. Yeah.
Yeah, we won't want to wade into that.
But, you know, if the sponsors are happy with us talking about macerators...
We're all grown-ups.
we're all big kids, if we can deal with it.
If I can't just suggest that I think Toolstation 7mm brown wall plugs are the best money can buy...
yeah, you've not received any free ones. Yeah. You're going in and buy them.
Someone tries to stop me at their peril.
Yeah. We're pulling sponsorship. So go well, dear listeners. Loads of love. Look after yourselves. Look up me and Tom on your various social media things. Tom Wrigglesworth, Rob Rouse. From me, Rob Rouse. From my colleague, Tom Wrigglesworth.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Cheerio. See you next time. Oh, you will not be told not to advertise brown roll plugs, will you, Tom?
They are the king of roll plugs. Out.
Yeah, I'm going to get my plasterboard screws from wherever.
Collected or not.
It's the collated ones when you have a little string of them. But they're a game changer.
Yeah.
It's not the first rodeo. Don't play games here.
I nearly bought a bag of staples. Talk, talk, come in. Yeah.
I know it, then. Yeah. We're doing a world of pain.
Beyond picking each screw to land masking tape. Yeah, they go out like ammo ones for two.
Incredible. Ha ha.